This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Who gets the ball in the shot?
Oh, Reese's going to throw it in here and see if you can't get Gillespie on the move.
Here's, now it goes to Gillespie. Gillespie pulls up. He'll launch the three. That's no good. Reese with a rebound. The final seconds, take it off. Game over. Ohio State has come back.
We had three or four fouls at the end of the first half that were just, you know, bonehead mistakes. You know, you can't march a good, we talked about how good of a free throw shooting team they are, especially their guards. And it just kind of gave them a chance, A, to set up their defense and get a little bit more physical in the defensive end, which they weren't able to do early in the game. And it just gave them a little momentum going into the second half.
So you heard the final call, call-ish, because they did put 0.7 seconds back on the clock, and then Selton Miguel missed a three in the corner. Ravens. Terps lose 73-70. They were up 17, 39-22 in this game. We're up 9 at the half. We're still up 9 with about 7 minutes left to go. Got up by 11 in the second half, but down the stretch, it was bad. Second half, frankly, was bad, and the Terps and What did I say yesterday? Very much Maryland fashion. Figuring out ways to lose games on the road. They lose at Ohio State 73-70.
Yeah. Look, Ohio State was desperate in the second half. Ohio State belatedly, finally, eventually got their crowd into the game, and it started to feel like a home game. And Ohio State, in the second half, had far and away the best player on the court. And Juju was awesome, but Thornton took the game
over. Oh, he was incredible.
Thornton played all 40 points. Maryland had no answer to stop Thornton driving or shooting in the second half. And at that same time, the Terps managed to score 7 field goals in the entire second half. I mean, they're 7 of 28 from the floor in the second half. You can't shoot 25% in the Big Ten, especially on the road, and have a chance to win, even with as big of a lead as they put up, and even scoring 14 of the first 16 points. So there were some things that struck me. I mean, this is a good three-point shooting team. You need to attempt more than 13 three-pointers. Sorry. Like, that there's got to be more intent there. Only 3 fast break points. Outscored by 10 in the paint, despite Ohio State not being as big as the Terps, and Ohio State getting some of their bigs in foul trouble. And then what puzzled me most about this game, and I started texting you guys in real time, what the hell are these rotations? Is Gillespie, like, is something up with Gillespie? Was his getting treatment in that last game, now 9 days ago, a sign? Why is Jay Young in this game 4 and 5 minutes in? Why is Gillespie off the court? Why does Gillespie not look right? Gillespie not looking for his shot? Gillespie not driving at all? Gillespie not getting to the line at all? I'm a little worried that there's something there. I don't think his plan, and we'll see what Jimmy Patsos has to say about it. I didn't think Willard's plan would be, let me empty the bench in the first 12 minutes of this game and play everybody. I thought he would play his starters hard here and then use the bench at home. I just think coming off an 8-day layoff, to be that sharp in the first 6 minutes and build that lead And then instead of just going for the kill shot, hey, Gapari, hey.
Malachi Palmer.
Come on,
was
Malachi
there.
Palmer. Malachi we haven't Palmer. Seen you in a month. Come on down. Geronimo, let's see what you look like on the court with Malachi Palmer. Like, I'm like, what?
It was weird.
It was bizarre. And they were pointing that out on the broadcast as well because Maryland gets off to that quickly. Guys, they were up 15-2. They started 7-for-7.
How are you not riding your starters there just trying to bury them? You just buried them in College Park a month ago.
That's exactly it. Where Ohio State, it looked like early on they were up against the ropes and they were all out of sorts offensively, defensively. And that's the time for you to put your foot on their throat. And instead, you're messing around with these rotations. And it was just a weird game, and I texted you guys. It was like a slow death. Like the Terps, they had a double-digit lead for a lot of this game, but they could never deliver the knockout punch. And what was most frustrating is Bruce Thornton did nothing until his first point was with 4:56 to go, and that was at the free throw line, and then he just went bananas heading into half. I mean, Gillespie, Rice, DHS, and Gapari all had two fouls. Queen picked up his second foul a couple minutes into the second half.
We've given ourselves a lot of pats on the back over the years on people getting a bump from coming on this show. And it's been real.
Gillespie did not.
We were due for regression, and I think we put the Maloik on that young man.
Yeah, I also want to say, like, Julian Reese played his rear end off last night.
Rice's first half was pretty close to impeccable.
And I thought he was good.
Yes.
The rest of the team, like Selton Miguel was awful last
night.
And he hits the 1-3, which he had no business taking, 1-on-5. Beyond that, he couldn't hit a shot. We talked about Gillespie. It looked like Gillespie, once he sat the rest of the first half, could not get into any kind of rhythm in the second half, and he picks up the foul. Like, nobody on the bench gave him. Like, Gapari gets blocked on a dunk attempt. Miguel falls down on a layup attempt. Like, this was a team that sort of was looking for ways to lose instead of looking for ways to win, which was frustrating to watch.
There was a situation late in the game where they were reviewing the out-of-bounds play where they thought Juju hit the ball. You had 18 seconds left on the shot clock. They didn't get a shot off. Got a shot clock violation there. You bring in DHS for a defensive possession. Thornton just blows by him and goes
DHS
right to the
cold.
Rim.
Again, the throw him on third. By the way, Rodney Rice, they figured it out in the last minute of the game. Rodney Rice did a decent job. The guy banked in a three, but he covered that guy. That should have been the guy covering Thornton down the stretch. Not throw DHS on him right off the bench.
12 minutes in a nip and tuck Big Ten road game for Jay Young. That's probably always going to be a recipe for disaster.
I didn't have a problem with Jay Young as he's the
backup
point guard.
He's not Gillespie. I mean, means Gillespie's not on the court.
I get it, but Gillespie had foul
minutes?
Trouble. Gillespie had foul trouble.
Then he didn't.
Having Jay Young in there early made no sense. Once he gets the two fouls, Jay Young, other than the one possession where he sort of lost his mind after the ball got tipped, I thought he played good defense. Yeah. He's not going to score. He's a backup point guard.
They're probably not going to win a lot of games on the road with Jay Young playing 12 minutes. Unless it is like that first game between these two and it's 50-17 at halftime.
I hear you. It's down on my list of things. But Derrick Queen was not good last night. Got a bunch of shots blocked. Missed 6 free throws. Like, Jay Young's down on my list of things. Gillespie playing like crap and getting into foul trouble is higher on my list of things.
Well, that's the same thing.
It is, but it isn't. Like, Jay Young coming in early, that's on Willard.
That's bizarre.
Yeah, that's bizarre. Willard has this policy. I remember the first guy I ever noticed doing this was John Chaney at Temple. If you get two fouls, you're sitting. And so Gillespie got the two fouls, and he sat the rest of the half. And then Rice picks up a second foul, and now all of a sudden you've got him out as well. And the 17-point lead quickly became 9 at the half.
Yeah, Gillespie picked up his second foul with 6:42 left in the first half. So, I mean, that was a lot of it there.
So I'm telling you, they're not going to win on the road with him only on the court 27 minutes. That's probably going to come back to bite them in the ass. And it's one of the things that did.
And by the way, 27 bad minutes.
Yeah.
Like, if he gives you 27 and gives you 16-6, you're probably winning that game anyway. Instead, it's 6-4, 5 rebounds, but missing chippies, not looking for his shot. It was an out-of-sorts Jacoby Gillespie.
Yeah. No doubt about it. And they got out-backcourted bad in the second half. And that was, that had a lot to do with it. Look, I think we all thought this was going to be a tricky game. I think if we would have erased the way it started, like if you erased how we got there and said they're going to lose on a last second bank shot by three. So they're going to lose 73-70 and the best guy on the court's going to be Thornton, and he's going to throw up a prayer with 7 seconds left, and it's going to go in, and that's how they're going to lose. We all would have said, all right, probably feels about right. Now, if you'd have told me they're going to score 14 in the first 16 points, so they're going to get up by 26, and they're going to get up by 11 on Miguel hoping a prayer with nobody under the rim with five to play, then we all say, well, then they should probably win that game. But the reality is, I don't think we're shocked that they lost. I think we're just disheartened by the script that got them there, feeling like a lot of other bad road scripts.
One last thing, and it's a positive. Juju Reese had 24-13, and he was 10-11 from the line.
Absolute stud.
It's ridiculous. Now, I did lead them in turnovers, but man, was he good.
And he needed more touches in the paint. I mean, he needed more touches in the paint. They had their big men on the ropes, and there was no concerted effort in the second half to lob the ball down to Juju, who was far and away the Terps' best player in that game, to let him impact the game the way Thornton did. I mean, we love Juju, but there ain't no mid-range with Juju.
No.
Like, it is what it is. He scores where he scores, and he needed more opportunities to do that.
We have a huge Friday show. We'll get you ready for Super Bowl 59. You can hear that game right here on 105.7 The Fan, Westwood One's coverage of Super Bowl 59 this Sunday. Guest-wise, best bets with the prop queen, Ariel Epstein, also Beltway Ben's best bets coming up at 3 o'clock. Jimmy Sunshine himself, Jimmy Patsos in studio from 3:30 to 4. And former Oriole, now with the Cincinnati Reds, Austin Hayes joining us at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, excited to get take Jimmy's temperature on all things local hoops. Another big win for the CAA leading Towson Tigers. They did not cover that 7.5, but
you called that, though.
I said if it gets under 7.5, I would get on it. It never did, so I never went there. But the Campbell Camels cash for us easy.
JLCAA.
I'm just saying, Campbell, I told you guys, and the UNC Wilmington Seahawks cashed easy for us. Austin Hayes moving on to Cincinnati. Get his thoughts about them changing Sig's wall again after he left. Definitely some Super Bowl talk. And then, man, who doesn't have a vote for MVP in the NFL? Like, it's kind of amazing. Like, Bruce Murray does a radio show with Tim Gannon on SiriusXM Radio, and they with Rich Gannon. I'm sorry, and they both have votes.
Yes,
half of Sirius NFL Radio, they all have votes.
Yeah,
Pat Kerwin's got a vote. I love
Jim
Pat
Miller.
Kerwin. Jim Miller's got a vote.
Jim Miller voted Lamar fourth.
Gary Myers hasn't really covered the NFL for 4 or 5 years. He writes the occasional NFL book. He's been basically retired from the New York media for 5 years. He's got a vote.
Emmanuel Acho, who was very
hot take artist, career jackass. He's got a vote.
Well, and he also was...
he's doing stuff for content. He literally, he plays a character on television, and he's got a vote.
Yeah, I was trying to get out. He was also very much involved in as an ancillary figure in a lawsuit that came out recently from Fox.
That
executive.
Guy.
Yes, very joyful, Emmanuel Acho.
I don't care about any of that. It's interesting to me.
I do.
Who gets
care.
Who has a seat at this table? It's quite a table.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to spend any holidays with those mooks.
Dan Orlovsky has a vote.
Don't invite me. I'm not coming.
Hey, Aditi has a vote, too.
Aditi.
I don't think even Aditi. If I got asked, I'd be allowed to, because pretty sure the Washington Post still has they always had a policy. You're not allowed to vote on any of those awards.
Really?
His leg looked at as a conflict of interest.
Yeah, I think Mark Maskey doesn't vote, and he's your main guy. Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that policy's still there.
Yeah. Tom Brady had a vote, voted Lamar Jackson. He knows. He knows. Goats, no. Goats, no goats. Hey, coming up next, Terps lose 73-70. We will continue to recap and hear from Coach Kevin Willard next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Fan.
I thought we did a really good job for the most part. Even when he made a couple of the tough twos, we were okay with that. We were still up 6, up 8. You know, we were getting into the lane. It's just, you know, we lost him. We lost him, and he hit a big 3. And then obviously, I thought our defense at the end was really good. We switched out. We covered everything. He hits a tough shot.
Kevin Willard, after the game, talking about their defense on Bruce Thornton. Bruce Thornton had 31 points, 6 assists, 5 boards, and seemingly couldn't miss in the second half. And yes, some of them were tough contested shots, but they had no answers for him
In the second half. Did you ever see the movie They Call Me Bruce?
Yeah.
I think it's all-time underrated cult classic.
I don't even know what it is.
That's a karate movie.
It was like a knockoff.
Yeah.
Like the opposite of what you would expect a Bruce Lee movie.
Yes.
They Call Me Bruce. It's good. I would think, I'm not a stoner, but I bet you stoners would like that movie.
Yes. In I'm hindsight, not either, but
I don't
yes.
think it was. I don't think they really, I mean, there was a genre of that then, but it wasn't like Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
It wasn't overtly.
Half-baked.
They could have, they needed to get Bruce Matthews a little toasted last night.
Bruce Thornton.
Bruce Thornton, I mean. I got the NFL Hall of Fame back on my head.
Nobody else on Ohio State at 113.
Look, like I'm with Willard. I mean, the one at the end, like they defended well that possession. He throws up a 3 from top of the key and banks it in. Like, Godspeed.
And to his point, as Thornton started to get going, a lot of it was basically using his shoulder. Like I think Raftery mentioned at one point, he's almost looking like a running back the way he's running. And he'd get to his spot and he'd hit a shot. Now, and the defense would be decent, but he got going doing that.
Yeah.
He took over. And,
he was a one-man army.
And that was when the game turned. He was held without a point for the first 15 minutes, and then he scored 10 of the last 12 Ohio State points to head into halftime. When it looked like the Terps were going to cruise at that point and made it a game, you're starting to believe again. The crowd, which was non-existent up until that point, was starting to get into it, and Ohio State rode that momentum.
More from Kevin Willard. Talks about letting Ohio State get some momentum before halftime.
We had 3 or 4 fouls at the end of the first half that were just, you know, bonehead mistakes. You know, you can't march a good – we talked about how good of a free throw shooting team they are, especially their guards. And it just kind of gave them a chance, A, to set up their defense and get a little bit more physical in the defensive end, which they weren't able to do early in the game. And it just gave them a little momentum going into the second half.
The fouls evened out over the course of the game. Each team had 20, but in the first half, to me – like, wasn't Ohio State in the double bonus, like, quickly in Maryland?
Oh, it was a flurry of whistles. I mean, it was a whistle fest.
Yeah, it felt like it's almost like, if you believe in conspiracies, somebody from Big Ten headquarters. Is Ohio State a blue blood, Jason?
Blue blood?
They got the call. It's like,
blue
blood?
I mean, obviously in football. For
yes.
Sure.
Does
it carry over at all?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it's sport dependent. That was my thing about Michigan State.
It makes them an overall blue blood because they're such a football blue blood.
Yes. I think somebody.
But we've always talked about that in basketball terms. Yes. No, I don't think they're getting the calls. If you're asking me if they get the calls that Izzo gets, I'm going to say no. Is that what we're getting at?
I'm just saying that the conspiracy theorists would say somebody said start blowing some quick whistles here because Ohio State's about to get blown out of this basketball game.
Ryan Day was in the house.
He signed a massive contract.
Maybe, I don't know.
I will say this: when you really start thinking about, okay, what are all of these sports leagues and their owners, and what are all of these sports conferences and their university overlords, what are they ultimately in when they're putting this stuff on? They're ultimately in the entertainment business to make money,
yes,
right?
Yeah,
and that is the end game.
Yeah.
And who are the officials paid by? Are they paid by some third, independent third party who just wants these games to be as up and up as possible? Or are they paid directly by the people who stand to make the most off of them?
Who wants to be as up as possible?
Huh?
Just kidding.
No.
But the leagues obviously wanted to be on the up.
Who hires the ref? Who pays for the referees?
The leagues, yes.
Who do the referees report to?
The league.
Who do referees get their points of emphasis and directives from?
That would be the league.
They have all their super top secret meetings with the leagues and the conferences that aren't transparent, right? When they bring in officiating crews for their weekly getting spanked on the ass, you did this right, you did that wrong. Are we privy to any of that?
No.
The consumers?
No.
So I'm just saying, that is an interesting dynamic, isn't it?
They don't take
a whole bunch of money, right? They don't take $2 million or whatever the official budget is. What do you think NFL pays all the officials and refereeing department for you? What if you just took that, let's just say it's $10 million, and you gave it to some complete outside firm that just specializes in training officials and say, we're out of that business. The checks come from you guys. We're writing one check. We want to be as above board as possible. All of it's being run by, Joe Stripes Refereeing Inc.
They're going to make people transparent,
and they're going to make the officials, as part of their contracts with them, have press conferences after the games. Now, that you want to eliminate any look of this? Isn't that how you do it?
Joe Stripe is anti-blue blood.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, officials wear stripes. I don't know. Whoever. But, like, don't you?
I thought his name was Joe.
Doesn't that make more sense?
Yes.
Am I crazy?
No, but this is the way the
sausage. And why do you think they like it this way more?
Because they are.
Because if they ever really did have to give you the elbow, you're going to take that elbow and you're going to pass it down the line the way they want you to pass it down the line.
I want to ask Beltway.
Just saying.
Yeah, I want to ask Beltway Ben what he thought of the officiating in the first half.
Think it was, I mean, the touch fouls were certainly one way, and it was pretty evident, and that's how it went. Of course, the Terps shoot 13 more free throws, but, you know, with the way that the Terps were playing, not shooting many threes, that's kind of how it's going to work. I do think that this is regular, though. When the Terps go on the road in the Big Ten, it's one-sided. And
they're not a blue blood.
Exactly. No, it's 100% true.
Thank you.
And Mick Cronin comes to Maryland and says, but Mick Cronin said that Maryland's getting the calls because they've been in the Big Ten. UCLA isn't. That one made me laugh because it's like, no, Mick, we've been dealing with this for years. Now
he does keep talking about what it's like to be the new kid on the block.
Oh, he absolutely does. And it's funny that he's outspoken about it. And the little brother, Kevin Willard, kind of.
Don't say that.
But he does shout his guy, Mick, out. During pressers, he absolutely shouts.
I feel like he's talking for many.
Who's more outspoken? Mick Cronin?
Or Dean Kramer?
Mean Dean.
I got to say Mick Cronin.
I think Mick Cronin.
Now, I hope Mean Dean, if this season goes the way I think it's going to go, I hope Mean Dean gives a run for his money. I hope Mean Dean talks himself right onto a real contender by the trade deadline, just being a truth teller and speaking truth to power and pulling the curtain up behind the Wizard of Oz there. The three-headed Wizard of Oz behind that curtain. I hope he talks about Sig's wall. I hope he goes off on all of it.
Coming up next, we switch to football.
That was a good Terp segment.
NFL honors were last night, and quite honestly, I feel like they were a little dishonorable.
Gigi's on a heater today.
Lamar Jackson.
Look out, Margie.
Robbed. We discuss next. You're on the fan. Kevin Willard after the game talking about their defense on Bruce Thornton. Bruce Thornton had 31 points, 6 assists, 5 boards, and seemingly couldn't miss in the second half. And yes, some of them were tough contested shots, but they had no answers for him
no
in the second
half. No answers in the second half. Did you ever see the movie They Call Me Bruce?
Yeah.
I think it's an all-time underrated cult classic.
I don't even know what it is.
That's a karate movie.
It was like a knockoff.
Yeah.
Like the opposite of what you would expect a Bruce Lee movie.
Yes.
They Call Me Bruce. It's good. I would think, I'm not a stoner, but I bet you stoners would like that movie.
Yes. I'm not either, but I don't think it was.
I don't think they really, I mean, there was a genre of that then, but it wasn't like Cheech and Chong.
Yeah.
It wasn't overtly.
Half-baked.
They could have. They needed to get Bruce Matthews a little toasted last night.
Bruce Thornton.
Bruce Thornton, I mean. Now I got the NFL Hall of Fame on my head.
Nobody else on Ohio State at 113.
Look, like, I'm with Willard. I mean, the one at the end, like, they defended well that possession. He throws up a three from top of the key and banks it in. Like, Godspeed.
And to his point, as Thornton started to get going, a lot of it was basically using his shoulder. Like, I think Raftery mentioned at one point, he's almost looking like a running back the way he's running. And he'd get to his spot and he'd hit a shot. And the defense would be decent, but he got going doing that.
Yeah.
He took over. And
he was a one-man army.
That was when the game turned. He was held without a point for the first 15 minutes, and then he scored 10 of the last 12 Ohio State points to head into halftime. When it looked like the Terps were going to cruise at that point and made it a game, you're starting to believe again. The crowd, which was non-existent up until that point, was starting to get into it, and Ohio State rode that momentum.
More from Kevin Willard. Talks about letting Ohio State get some momentum before halftime.
I'm glad that we have Dan here to defend him and the people who did this, but it does feel like you're trying to split the baby. Like, you don't got the heart to say what you actually want to say. I think both of them had MVP caliber seasons, but it feels like you are trying to find some little semantics trap doors. You can give this to him and that to them because you don't actually want to say what you really want to say.
Which is what?
Lamar Jackson had the best season this year. And maybe you could argue
that's not the award, Don.
See, this is the semantics foolishness that we do. This is what you do. You say value. And the cool thing about value, it gives us on these shows a way to argue because you can twist it and turn it any way you want. Normally, MVP means who's the best damn dude in the league.
Yeah.
And it, to me, obviously, Josh Allen had an MVP caliber season. But the best damn dude in the league this year was the guy who was first team all pro.
The fouls evened out over the course of the game. Each team had 20, but in the first half, to me, like, wasn't Ohio State in the double bonus, like, quickly in Maryland?
It was a flurry of whistles. I mean, it was a whistle fest.
Yeah, it felt like it's almost like, if you believe in conspiracies, somebody from Big Ten headquarters. Is Ohio State a blue blood, Jason?
Blue blood?
They got the call. It's like,
not
let's...
Bad. Well,
blue blood?
I mean, obviously in football, for
yes,
sure.
Yes. Does that carry over at all?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's sport dependent.
That was my thing. It's about sport Michigan dependent. State.
It makes them an overall blue blood because they're such a football blue blood.
Yes. I think somebody.
But we've
got a call.
Always talked about that in basketball terms. Yes. No, I don't think they're getting the calls. If you're asking me if they get the calls that Izzo gets, I'm going to say no. Is that what we're getting at?
I'm just saying that the conspiracy theorists would say somebody said start blowing some quick whistles here because Ohio State's about to get blown out of this basketball game.
Ryan Day was in the house.
He was. Just signed a massive contract.
Maybe, I don't know.
I will say this. When you really start thinking about, okay, what are all of these sports leagues and their owners, and what are all of these sports conferences and their university overlords, what are they ultimately in when they're putting this stuff on? They're ultimately in the entertainment business to make money,
yes,
right?
Yes,
and that
absolutely.
Is the end game.
Yeah.
And who are the officials paid by? Are they paid by some third, independent third party who just wants these games to be as up and up as possible? Or are they paid directly by the people who stand to make the most off of them?
Who want it to be as up as possible?
Huh? No.
But the leagues obviously wanted to be on the up
who
and
hires the ref? Who pays for the referees?
The leagues, yes.
Who do the referees report to?
The league.
Who do referees get their points of emphasis and directives from?
That would be the league.
They have all their super top secret meetings with the leagues and the conferences that aren't transparent, right? When they bring in officiating crews for their weekly getting spanked on the ass, you did this right, you did that wrong. Does any of that, do we privy to any of that?
No.
The consumers?
No.
See, I'm just saying, that is an interesting dynamic, isn't it?
A little
they don't
bit.
Take a whole bunch of money, right? They don't take $2 million or whatever the official budget is. What do you think NFL plays all the officials and refereeing department for you? What if you just took that, let's just say it's $10 million, and you gave it to some complete outside firm that just specializes in training officials and say, we're out of that business. The checks come from you guys. We're writing one check. We want to be as above board as possible. All of it's being run by, you know, Joe Stripes Refereeing Inc.
I like
and
that.
They're going to be and they're going to make people transparent, and they're going to make the officials as part of their contracts with them have press conferences after the games. Now that you want to eliminate any look of this, isn't that how you do it?
Joe Stripe is anti-blue blood count.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, like officials wear stripes. I don't know whoever, but like don't you?
I thought that, his name was Joe.
Doesn't
Stripe.
That make more sense?
Yes.
Am I crazy?
No, but doesn't that? But this is the way the
and why do you think they like it this way more?
No, because they are
because if they ever really did have to give you the elbow, you're going to take that elbow and you're going to pass it down the line the way they want you to pass it down the line.
I want to ask Beltway.
Just saying.
Yeah, I want to ask Beltway Ben what he thought of the officiating in the first half.
Think it was, I mean, the touch fouls were certainly one way, and it was pretty evident, and that's how it went. Of course, the Terps shoot 13 more free throws, but, you know, with the way that the Terps were playing, not shooting many threes, that's kind of how it's going to work. I do think that this is regular, though. When the Terps go on the road in the Big Ten, it's one-sided. And
they're not a blue blood.
Exactly. No, it's 100% true.
Thank you.
And Mick Cronin comes He's to Maryland and says, but Mick Cronin said that Maryland's getting the calls because they've been in the Big Ten. UCLA isn't. That one made me laugh because it's like, no, Mick, we've been dealing with this for years. Now
but he does keep talking about what it's like to be the new kid on the block.
Oh, he absolutely does. And it's funny that he's outspoken about it. And the little brother, Kevin Willard, kind of.
Don't say that.
But he does shout his guy Mick out. During pressers, he absolutely shouts.
I feel like he's talking for many.
Who's more outspoken, Mick Cronin
or Dean Kramer?
Mean Dean.
I got to say Mick Cronin.
I think Mick Cronin. Is way
now,
out there.
Now, I hope Mean Dean, if this season goes the way I think it's going to go, I hope Mean Dean gives a run for his money. I hope Mean Dean talks himself right onto a real contender by the trade deadline, just being a truth teller and speaking truth to power and pulling the curtain up behind the Wizard of Oz there. The three-headed Wizard of Oz behind that curtain. I hope he talks about Sig's wall. I hope he goes off on all of it.
Coming up next, we switch to football.
That was a good term segment.
NFL honors were last night, and quite honestly, I feel like they were a little dishonorable.
Gigi's on the heater today.
Lamar Jackson.
Look out, Margie.
Robbed. We discuss next.
I mean, there's a lot of experiences that come with every year, so I'd love to be able to take those in and really just learn as much as I can about each and every year just to learn how to get better in every aspect of the game.
It's Gunnar Henderson live from the Birdland Caravan. I said it again, didn't I?
You got a thing.
I do. He was at the Birdland
Caravan. Hot streak over. Yeah. I take it all back.
I know. It's for some reason.
You're safe, Marty.
He was.
Off the hook.
He was live when he said it. But it's
we away from Valentine's.
Yeah, yeah. Gunnar Henderson. He had 37 homers, 92 RBIs, batted .280 for half the year. He looked like he was going to win the MVP a year ago, or at least compete with Aaron Judge.
He would have got my vote. Yeah,
but he faded down the stretch. Still had a really good year. So what's he do for an encore?
I just want to see, like, I have no issues whatsoever with Gunnar Henderson other than I hope he can get a little more consistent with another full season at shortstop. And that's it. I'm not picking nits with him. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, you know, a slight blemish here or a slight blemish there with his StatCast page. This kid is still a baby and he's a full grown man. And I think he takes responsibility and accountability in a way that others in that locker room don't, who are older than him and who were drafted ahead of him. I think he grinds in a way that not all of them do. I love everything about this kid. I've loved watching him through the minors. I loved every interaction we've ever had with him. He is a genuine dirt dog ball player who will maximize every bit of his God-given talent. My biggest issue with Gunnar Henderson is we're probably never going to see him play after age 26 or 27. That's my biggest
issue. Well, you'll see him play. It'll be on TV.
Well, I mean, won't see him play here.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Gunnar, really the only thing you're picking nits with is defensively. I mean, you can't have those type of stretches like he had July, couple weeks where he had 12 errors and the consistency there, because we've seen him make some web gem plays, some fantastic defensive plays, and then missing some of the routine ones. And a lot of that's between the ears, I think. And it began to snowball there. We saw the power numbers decline in the second half. He had 26 home runs in the first 3 months, just 11 home runs in the second 3 months. And people were wondering, oh, with him in the home run derby, was that part of it, messing up the swing? But again, picking nits there. He is a superstar, and you expect him to only continue to grow in, what, his age 23 season?
I will say this with the defense. The more he gets to play with Jorge Mateo as his double play partner, the better. I do have concerns about him with the 21-year-old who's still not a second baseman to me. He's not a major league second baseman. I have concerns about that affecting Gunnar.
More from Gunnar Henderson. Anthony Santander is now a Toronto Blue Jay. He talks about Santander.
Yeah, I mean, I spent a lot of time around him, and I hate to see him go. Happy for him, though, but yeah, I hate to see him off our team, and but wish him nothing but the best.
I'd be happier for him if, like, the L.A. Dodgers came out of the gate smoking and they gave Santander the Jim Bowden deal. Then I'd be like, vaya con Dios, bro. You're going to get some hardware. You're in a better place. Who wouldn't want to be there? I don't think he wanted to go to Canada. I don't think he's got his parents who live with him and everything. I don't think he was to relocate his entire family to another country again. I don't think he really will be the guy who relishes facing the Orioles twice a year. I think when he faces the Orioles, he's going to be a lot of times wishing he was in the other clubhouse. Like there's a lot of things that could have happened where I would have been like, I'm pumped for Santander, and that made a lot of sense that he's gone. The way this went down, not so much.
If the Orioles offered anything close to what the Blue Jays offered, he'd be back here.
Oh, yeah. If they wanted him back as much as he's their hero, Michael Elias said he's my hero, he didn't want him. He's got younger and cheaper, and he thinks better. We'll find out.
Gunnar Henderson, speaking at the Birdland Caravan, talks about the publicity that comes with his gig.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's just kind of stuff that comes with it, but... yeah, just really keep my head down and try to work, and that kind of stuff will come with it.
Some of the publicity, I think he's one of the cover guys for the MLB.
Yes, the show.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a trifecta.
Him, Ellie, and Skeens.
The young faces of Major League Baseball.
Is Gunnar Henderson the next chicken man of Baltimore?
If I'm Royal Farms, I'm jumping on that.
Well, didn't I say that?
But I don't know. Do you think he's into that? I don't know.
I think he's into the
check. He's not into fried chicken.
No. I mean, into like that. There's a lot of commercials.
Yeah.
They had the guy doing a lot of stuff. Like, he doesn't have that guy's personality. Right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's a very different campaign.
He's a lot more reserved.
Didn't he do some weird pizza ad a year ago, though, that was like...
Papa John's,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He did Papa John's.
Yeah, so he's... And it was like some locker room thing where...
Wasn't it Mean Joe Green?
It was a takeoff of the... Yeah, it was a takeoff of the...
Like, do you know who... Like, the person who I think would have the personality if they wanted to keep...
Couser?
Yes. If they wanted to keep that campaign in the vein it's been going in... That guy, that would be Kowser.
Yeah. I could see that.
And you're going to get Kowser cheaper than Gunnar, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kowser's going to be here longer, probably.
Yeah, well, around the same at least.
I mean, Kowser's, like, I think if you want to keep Kowser, you're going to be able to keep
Kowser.
Yeah,
but they don't sign anybody. So, like,
I'm going to go on a limb and say they've got a way better shot of keeping Colton Kowser around here than Gunnar Henderson. Yeah. I feel safer in that than telling you bet the house on the Campbell Camels last night.
I hear you. I can't guarantee they're going to give anybody extended money until they give somebody extended money. They're loath to do it.
I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm just saying with one guy, you got a fighting chance.
Yeah.
And with the other guy, Scott Boras, I guarantee you, remember how PFT used to have that clicker number of days since somebody arrested in the NFL? I guarantee, and you go to the, what is it, the Las Vegas Sports, the Beverly Hills Sports Council or whatever.
Is that
Boras,
him? I think.
Or whatever, the Boras Corp.
Yeah.
You go to the Boras Corp, there's one of those ticking things, number of seconds till Gunnar Henderson's free agency.
Does it also list the amount of money he's cost his clients the last couple of years?
No, but it lists how much more he tries to... You know what he's going to do? He's going to try to offset all those losses with what he makes with Gunnar Henderson. hitting the market at 26 or whatever.
Yeah, he for every Juan Soto, there's a Pete Alonso and what we had the pitchers last year.
Montgomery, Snell.
Yeah. Hey, coming up next, it's a Friday. We got to get our best bets in with the prop queen Ariel Epstein and our own Beltway Ben Hall. That's next here on The Fan.